Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for tonight's show, the big question is, can you be in a platonic relationship if you are gay people or if you're straight men and women? So we'll be interested in what you have to say on the subject. Please feel free to participate if you're willing, or to just listen. That's fine, too. So let me welcome Kat, my co-host. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. So what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, I think we should just let people know that everything's okay, because we went a bit silent last week. We weren't there. We weren't MO.
Right. Well, we're back. I don't even remember what happened last week. It probably had something to do with me. But we do have one caller on the line, thank goodness. Al has called in. It's always a pleasure to have his feedback, his participation, and perhaps we'll have some more. At any rate, Kat, this is an interesting subject that you brought up, and I'm curious as to what possessed you to bring up the subject.
I've seen it debated quite often in the media, in social media, and so I thought that maybe it was a relevant topic for people to discuss. Certainly, I've experienced both sides of this subject as far as, I'm trying to put my words correctly. Oh, good. I have platonic friendships, and I have a romantic relationship, and I have asked a lot of my partner in that he must not feel insecure about me having platonic friendships. So and that is because I've always had platonic friendships. Now, I've got three older brothers, and as a result, I became friends with their friends, and I kind of just knocked around as one of the boys most of my growing up and stayed a bit of a tomboy, and maybe that shaped my personality a little bit, and I like to hang out with guys sometimes, but I don't get promiscuous with guys. And that has to do with my own feeling of withdrawal from the world in some ways. So I tend to keep very closed. I don't mean that I'm better or worse than anybody else, but that's just my experience. So I felt maybe I was like a repressed nun in a past life or something. And I was friends with the priest, but nobody was going there. So it made it easier this time. But, yeah, that's sort of where I've come at it. And I have asked a lot of my partner in him being confident that there would be no lines crossed between me and my male friends. As you listening, you probably gather that I'm a heterosexual person. And there have been no lines crossed as far as my mind and my heart goes, because I see us all as human beings first. But that doesn't mean that's the experience of others, and we're not here to judge. We're here to discuss this on just like a put it on the table, unpack it, and chat about it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you feel that there's a sense among some people that having those platonic relationships is a sham, whether or not you act out with somebody sexually, that there may be a hidden agenda, or that people of the opposite sex may be having sexual thoughts about the other person, even though they're never expressed? I'm just wondering about the subliminal part of that, whether or not you feel there's anything going on there.
Well, I think that you'd be a bit silly if you thought that there wasn't, you know, because, well, firstly, if you've got a friendship with somebody, no matter what the sexual orientation going on between you and the other person, you're attracted to that person for some reason. So if I have a friendship with another woman, as a heterosexual woman, I don't have any sexual thoughts towards her, but I'm still attracted to her for the friendship reason. And so if you have somebody of the same sexual orientation who you're friends with, there's got to be some level of attraction, or why are you friends? Now, I'm friends with my cat. I'm quite attracted to him. He's walking in now. He's a black cat, and he's got a lovely personality, and he drives me batty sometimes, but overall I have a great time with him. But I wasn't attracted to him. I thought he was ugly and horrid. I wouldn't be around him, you know? So I think it's just you have to be aware that, yeah, there is an attraction to some level, and at some point the other person may have feelings of love that go beyond friendship. But if boundaries are put into place, then they won't take that any further. You can't police people's thoughts and feelings. You know, like you can only just put boundaries in. And if somebody says, you know what, if I cross this boundary and I lose my friendship with you, that's not worth it to me. I'm always going to love you, and I'm always going to have feelings of wanting to be your partner, but I can't go there, so I'll just be your friend because that enriches my life more than anything else. To me, that's a mature way of looking at it, if you have those feelings. What do you reckon?
Well, I have a lot of different thoughts on the subject. I hear what you're saying, and I will admit there have been some friends that I have found physically attractive, and I can't think offhand on whether or not I've entertained sexual thoughts, but to be honest, that probably has been in the back of my mind at points. But, you know, I'm a gay man. I'm coming at it from that perspective, and so I'll talk about whether or not I believe same-sex gay people can be in platonic relationships. I've had many, and the attraction in most cases has not had any sexual dynamic to it. I generally am attracted to people first and foremost if I get into a relationship with them for whatever speaks from their heart, whether or not I empathize with the person, what are the commonalities between us, the common bonds, the common interests, those kinds of things. I will say that when I first came out, which was back in the 1970s, the late 70s, there was a certain mentality that was very different from today for the most part. I am not a young person anymore, and I don't know what it's like for young gay men, so I certainly can't speak for that. But when I first came out, it was very common for gay men to sexualize their relationships. And to be honest, I don't recall having any platonic relationships with gay men back in the 1970s that where the relationships were not sexualized. So there's a big difference between then and now for me. But I have no problem having platonic relationships. The problem that I have is that I've had a history of sexual addiction, and so I have been involved in strictly physical relationships with a lot of people, and it has not been a satisfying dimension to my life. It's been a compulsion, and we could do a whole show around that. There are a lot of different dynamics that go into play there, and it really doesn't have anything to do with friendship per se. In fact, it really doesn't. They're shallow types of relationships that are strictly physical, and I'm not proud of that, but that is a piece of my history. But it does not have anything to do with my friendships, and I've had mostly platonic relationships with other gay men. They've been very satisfying to me, very nurturing. As I said, there's been no sexualization or even any sexual thoughts, with a few exceptions. And for me, I think that has to do with the sexual addiction. Now, it may be different for other people. I don't know. I can't speak for that. I come from it from kind of a unique perspective where I have done a lot of sexualizing in my mind about other men. And so I may not be the best person to talk about that in general terms. But we do have a caller on the line who might be able to speak to that, who does not have that particular history. And I'd be interested in what Al has to say. So let me go to him. Hold on, Al. Hi, Al. You're live and on the air.
Well, hi, David. Hello, Kat.
Hi, Al.
What do you think?
Well, I like the things that both of you said. I agree with Kat that you have to agree on some boundaries with a friend because, you know, we may have certain expectations of what a friendship is and they may have different ideas of what it is. So I also agree with Kat that it's natural to have some degree of attraction to a friend because I agree with you that there's something that we like about our friends or we wouldn't be friends with them. And I love my friends. I don't love them in a romantic way, but I do love them. And it's a form of attraction, you know, in that I feel close to them. And I think therapists deal with this a lot with clients. I think, you know, sometimes clients get confused about their relationship with a therapist because they're with somebody that's being warm towards them. There's somebody that's listening to them. There's somebody that has concern for them. And that's the same thing a friend does, you know. So I think sometimes when people have a good friend who's listening well, is concerned about them, obviously likes them, that, you know, people can get a little confused. And I think that friends need to be willing to give each other a pass if one or the other makes a mistake about what the nature of that relationship is. They need to be willing to have discussions if one person is feeling a little differently than the other. And, you know, if you're friends with somebody, you want to give them that leeway. You want to give them the ability to make mistakes and, you know, to be able to have conversations with them about it and straighten things out. I do have platonic friendships. I'm also a gay man, so platonic relationships with other men. I care deeply about them. But, you know, it's not the same as a romantic relationship. Yeah, it's... Kat, you brought up another interesting point, which is dealing with, if you are in a romantic relationship, dealing with a romantic partner who doesn't, might, may or may not know how to handle the closeness you have with friends. And I also feel that I'm not, my friends are valuable to me, and I'm not going to be in a relationship where someone would not give me that kind of room to stay close to my friends. On the other hand, I have to be willing to earn that trust, you know, to be trustworthy so that they know that you know, while I may be very close to my friends, they're still my my relationship, my romantic relationship with them is what is most important to me. But not so important that I'm going to give up my friendships, because I'm not going to constrict my life that way either. So those are my thoughts on it.
Well, Al, let me ask you a personal question, if that's okay. Have you had sexual feelings toward one of your platonic friends? And if so, how have you may have addressed this already, and I apologize if I wasn't paying total attention. I've got a cat that's vying for my affection, speaking of affections. That's who's sneezing in the background, not me. I'm just wondering how you have dealt with that, if that's been the case for you. Is my question making any sense to you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think for men, and I don't just mean gay men, but I think for men in general, men confuse sex and love a lot. I think men have a harder time than women with sorting those two things out. And I think it's, I don't think it's really, and I think Kat alluded to this too. I don't think it's surprising that, you know, we have sexual thoughts about other people, and that includes our friends. You know, we don't necessarily act on that. And for me, if I'm having those thoughts, I have enough maturity at this point in my life to be able to sort that stuff out in my mind, you know, to kind of look at it and think about, well, what's really going on here? You know, I'm feeling particularly close to this person at this moment, but is it because it really could become a romantic relationship? Because sometimes friendships can. There's nothing wrong with that. Or is it just that I'm just feeling really close to this person right now, and that's how friends feel about one another, and it's really nothing more than that. So, yeah, I think it's just taking a pause and not being impulsive and kind of noticing what's really happening in that situation, what you really are feeling, because feelings of closeness with a friend, I think, are, if you're close, if your friends are close to you, I think you're going to have those feelings. But I you know, I don't know that it's. I think men have a little more tendency to sexualize that than women do. Maybe Kat could address that. I might be wrong about that because I can't really speak to that experience. I think it's just trying to sort it out in your own mind. And if you're not sure, you know, I mean, it could be something real with a friend. You know, a lot of couples have started out as friends and that has turned into something more. And as a matter of fact, some people say that that's the best kind of relationship, if you start out with a strong friendship and then it becomes something more. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to. So I guess you got to be willing to have that kind of conversation with somebody. See if there's similar feelings on their side. And maybe even kind of you know, have a conversation like if we're going to have this conversation, you know, what is our relationship going to be like after this conversation? Because maybe we don't both feel the same way, or maybe neither of us really feels this way. We're just a little confused in the moment. And, you know, how are we going to, how are we going to work at staying close anyway? Because it's going to be awkward after that. So I guess, I guess it comes down to conversation, willingness to talk.
Well, I have another question for you, and this goes back to something that I said, and certainly I want to throw the ball back to Kat to answer to what you were saying about the female perspective as far as sexuality goes and feelings, well, as far as sexuality goes, her sexuality directed towards others. You talked about men maybe sexualizing things more than women, but how can we, anybody be, how can anybody relate to the other sex's experience with regard to that? But I wondered if you could address what I was talking about as far as historical dimensions go and how you related to your sexuality when you were a younger man, back in the 1970s, for example.
Well, the 1970s was a sexual revolution, and I think straight men and straight women and gay men and gay women, I think everybody was being more sexual in that time period. I don't know. I think when you're younger, you know, your hormones are driving your behavior more. And it sounds like a cliche, but I think it's a little harder to think straight when that's happening. You know, no pun intended. It's hard to think rationally, you know, when your emotions are driving you like that. There's probably some truth to that, that it's harder to have platonic relationships when you're younger. And you don't have the experience with handling relationships when you're younger. You just don't, you know. You gain that experience with time. So it seems perfectly rational to me that as time goes on, we'd get better at having platonic relationships.
Well, I wondered if I could share something personal about our relationship historically. And it goes to what you were saying about how perhaps the basis to a more satisfying relationship is one that begins in friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be
I think I know where you're going. Yeah, I know where you're going to go with that. Yeah, that's all right.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say that Al and I have had a romantic relationship, but it did start with a friendship. We developed a friendship before we took it to another level. And for me, I think the sexual attraction was always there, if I'm going to be honest. But I had a unique experience with Al because I had been sexualizing my relationships with other gay men at that point in my life. And I think that we built a strong foundation for our relationship. Kitty cat, come on. Get down. Okay. I think that we built a strong foundation for our relationship that might not have been there if we jumped right into bed with each other. And I'll say that I've had the other kind of relationships too, and that they've not been enduring. They were romantic relationships that started right from the get-go with sex. And I'm just going to speak about those relationships in general terms without referring to any other specific partners. But I really appreciate that dimension. And Al and I are not a couple anymore, but we have transitioned from
a romantic and physically intimate relationship into a friendship after having separated, after having ended the romantic relationship. And it has been one of the most positive experiences of my life, and I do consider Al to be my best friend, although I will say this too to my husband, that I consider you a best friend too, and I do think it's possible to have more than one. So if you're listening, please don't feel threatened by that, husband. So let's come back to Kat, and perhaps she can share her perspective as a woman as far as sexuality goes, and address what you were talking about, Al. I'll be interested if what she says has any bearing to what you were saying. So, Kat, I turn it back to you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I just want to pre-warn my cat as well, Pericles, is trying to get my attention. So. we're both having feline fun today.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to look at biology, and the female biology is that, you know, we are set up like all females in nature to not mate with the first male that we see, but rather to look at which one has got the best genes to pass on to our young. So I think because of that very basic biology, it is easier for women to hold back and not open the door to a romantic relationship with a man, but rather to wait and see. And sort of think about what they want, and also think about what that person would be like in the long run, what it would be like to go there with their energy. And, you know, you've also got cultural things and the way you're raised and all of that, which we're not going into at the moment, but just on that basic biological foundation and the way that our brains are set up and our instincts, we're set up to hold back. That's it. Just like a bird is, just like any kind of more sentient being on the planet is, it's set up to hold back and look for the better genes and then mate with that male. So hopefully that kind of answers that question. As I said, for myself, it really had to do with having older brothers. And, you know, I remember I'd finished work. I was about 15. I always looked older than my age, especially when I dressed up. And I must have started to be more looking like a woman than a girl. And one of my brothers said, "Hey, go and get ready. We're going out to the pub. I'm going to talk to you." And he took me out at the pub and he sat me down and he said, "I'm going to go away for a sec and then I'm going to come back. I want you to notice who's looking at you." And then I said, "Oh, I didn't know, you know, because I was just sitting there." And he said, "I can tell you this, 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 and this one was looking at you." And I went, "Oh, really?" And he said, "Yeah, and so are my friends." And this is how boys treat girls, and what they're after. They're just after how they treat girls when they're just after sex, what they do, what I've witnessed guys do to girls, and what I don't want to happen to you. And that conversation there, I took it on board, and I just went, "Yeah, I don't want to be used. I don't want to be used for sex, and I don't want to be treated like I'm, you know, just some piece of crap because I allowed that person to sleep with me, and that other person is now going to treat me like that because of it." So I think that really made me withdraw a lot from going there with guys. I mean, that was the 90s. And as you men have said, in the 70s was a lot different. That was also, I was growing my teenage years in a country mining town called Mount Isa in northwest Queensland. And so there's a lot of pressure on girls to be chaste and a lot of rumours and meanness about girls that weren't. And so I had to steer my life. In fact, what ended up happening was because I was so choosy and I wasn't going there with guys, after I had a relationship and that was my first love. And when after I broke up with him, I would not go there with any guy. And so the rumour mill changed to she must be a lesbian because she's not having loose relations with men. She's only being friends with them. So I couldn't win either way. You know, that wasn't my orientation. If it was, good. If it wasn't, good. You know, like that was my business. And I'm certainly not trying to say anything wrong with being a lesbian because there's not. But what I'm saying is that that was the kind of experience I had. And so I chose a path where I would just really only go for relationships so that I didn't have to be treated like crap if I went and had one-night stands, I guess. And I also like just hanging out with the boys and having fun and kicking the football and getting into karate and just all the fun stuff that comes with hanging out with guys. I kind of don't like to sit around. I like adventure. And I didn't like the conversation that a lot of girls had. It was quite boring. It's sort of a Kim Kardashian-style conversation. I just don't find that interesting. I want to talk about, you know, building houses and science, engineering, chemistry. You know, I've friendships with guys where they taught me how to. I've got one friend who I love dearly who lives in Townsville, which is 1,200 kilometres away from me. He taught me how to fix a car, pull spanners. We pulled out the gearbox out of my car, I had a Toyota Corolla, Corolla Camry, and we pulled out the gearbox and we put a new one in. I think we changed the oil and the sump and we had to do a few other things to that car so that I could go on a long trip. And he subsequently taught me how to pull apart an engine and put it back together. You know, my life is richer in so many ways because I listened to my brother. And I just had friendships with men. And, yeah, like I said to you earlier, I can't police people's thoughts or feelings. But in the end, you have to decide for yourself, do you want to have a friendship with this person and one of you die and that's how the friendship ends? Or do you want to cross a line and then that person's no longer in your life? And I think that it's really important to say, I'm going to stay friends with you. And if the line crosses, it'll happen organically. But if not, it's not meant to be. But I will also say that I went through a period of 6 years of celibacy, my choice. I had my second big relationship in my 20s. Was about a 2.5 year relationship. And after those two relationships, the first one resulted in my two eldest sons. The second one, I had no children with that person. After having those two relationships, I said to myself, I cannot trust myself to meet somebody of good character. I seem to attract people who are narcissistic. There's something wrong with me. And I'm going to have a good relationship with myself and my children, and I'm not going to have a romantic relationship at all until I sort this out because I don't want to attract another person who treats me like that. And so I put myself in a bubble of enforced celibacy, and there were times during that my own body's needs were really quite strong for me, and I still had platonic male friends during that time, and there was a couple of times there for myself, quietly in my own head, where I had to process the sexual feelings I was having and realize it was just that I hadn't had sex in so long and this other person's right there. But if I went there with that person, I'd regret it. And one of the reasons I'd regret it is because I like that person as a friend, but I know that person would not be a good partner. So I held back. And it paid off. So that's just my experience. I mean, that's just the way it is for me. But I have to say that that conversation I had with my brother, I was about 15 or 16, it did set me on that path of, all right, I mean, I was pretty well aware of the way that boys were treating girls back then anyway, that there was no way that I was going to be one of those people. And I was happy for them to go ahead and make up stories about my sexuality if I wasn't going around reading guys, you know, because if they just had to have me reading someone. I learned from other people's mistakes. I didn't have to learn from myself in that respect, which I was very happy about. But, I mean, still made my mistakes in life.
Well,
it was a bit long-winded, but I hope that answered your question.
It did, and thank you. I was distracted during some of it because somebody Facebooked me, and I was encouraging them to call into the show. Actually, excuse me. They're writing to me again, so perhaps they're willing to do that. I do wish we had a lesbian who could give her perspective on this. Okay, we have somebody that wants in. Let me just type in the phone number. Bear with me. Al, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, I just wanted to ask Kat, you know, when you wanted relationships and not one-night stands, and so you weren't out there having sex with guys, and do you think guys are trying to dominate and manipulate when they try to characterize a woman as either frigid or a lesbian when she won't have sex with them? And I mean, that's just such an unfortunate experience for you to have had. It sounds like you were just coming from the best of good intentions for yourself, trying to do something good for yourself in life, and then having somebody try to put that out, characterize you in a way that was untrue, just for their own intentions and goals. Do men do that a lot? Have men done that with you before? Do you notice that with other women where they attempt to dominate or manipulate to get what they want sexually?
I think that that's a human experience across the world. I learned that there were two types of men. There were gentlemen, and then there were kind of animalistic men. That was what I learned as I was growing up. Gentlemen are mature-minded. You can have a 5-year-old gentleman. You can have a 95-year-old gentleman. You can have a 55-year-old gentleman. Or you can have a man that's just driven by eat, sleep, have sex, excrete. You know, if you can't, excuse my language, but this is something from Outback Australia. I don't know if it resonates anywhere else in the Outback, anywhere else in Australia, in the world, but the saying goes, if you can't eat it or fuck it, kill it. so that tells you that kind of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so there seems to be a lot of people who feel that, you know, these are the things that are important: food, sex, and personal gratification. And going beyond that That's for quote unquote they or the others, and they or the others are people with a far more mature perspective who are not focused on the lower three chakras and the gratification of the ego. So yeah, those sorts of people are out there. They're always going to be out there. You know, we've got this whole SJWPC world going on now where you've got all these people going, hey, I can be gay and you should be casual about it. I've got coffee-coloured skin with pink polka dots. You should be happy about it. Great. All of that's great. I don't have a problem with it at all. But the thing is that... you can have all of that and you're still going to have people who are only focused on their ego gratification. And I think that your gender and your sexual orientation will always come with challenges. And I agree, it'd be good to have someone who's a lesbian to come on the show, because that there comes with its challenges, because you've got from a woman's perspective, a straight woman's perspective of a lesbian woman, you don't just have like the religious disapproval of people. You also have the sexual curiosity of heterosexual men who want to push in on it, as well as the possible rejection of your sister because they're straight and you're not.
Kat,
it would be difficult.
Let me jump in. We have somebody else that wants in. I'd like to bring them on the line, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry to cut you off there. Actually, this is a cousin of mine, I do believe. I'm going to area code 385, and I believe it is a fellow named Matthew. Matt. Is that you?
Hello, this is Connie.
Oh, Connie, hi there.
Hi. Hello.
You fooled me. Connie, what do you think about being straight men and straight women to be involved in platonic relationships and or to have attraction to same-sex people?
Could you say it one more time? I'm sorry. Couldn't really hear you.
Let me keep it simple. What do you think of men and women being able to have platonic relationships that they don't sexualize or don't become sexual? Yeah, okay.
I think that I don't know how we couldn't have those. I don't know how that we couldn't have platonic relationships.
And what makes you say that, honey?
I guess we could, but it probably wouldn't be really healthy if we didn't have friends and to be with.
Okay, that's great. Anything else that you want to say, or did somebody else in your household want to speak?
Okay. I'll see if Matt wants to.
Yeah, I'll talk.
Okay. Matt wants to say hi.
Hi, Matt. Matt, are you there? Okay, maybe he's being shy. I don't know. Yep, shy, all right. The line went dead. Anyhow, that was my cousin's wife, Connie, and I thank you for your input. Let's see, where can we go now? Kat, any more ideas or suggestions?
I think that, you know, and just from my own experience, as I said, when I was getting together with my partner, I said to him, look, I've got male friends and you've got to be comfortable with that. If you're going to have any insecurities about it, then just don't go have a relationship with me. And I put that pretty clearly out there that because I wasn't going to have to constantly battle with him and his insecurities, and I didn't want him to be in a position where he'd have insecurities like that. I wanted him to just, you know, I needed to be with somebody who could just be, you know, comfortable within themselves and know themselves well enough and comfortable enough with me and know me well enough that people of the opposite gender to me wouldn't be an issue, you know, that kind of friendship. And I've kept it open and transparent as well. He can talk to any of my male friends. It's not a problem. He's met most of them. If he hasn't met them, he's certainly heard about them. I show him pictures of them so he can see I'm not going, you know, to catch up with someone who's like Pierce Brosnan. And he's quite, you know, good about me having friends. But I think for somebody who is not that secure within themselves, it would be very difficult to be in a relationship with somebody who has platonic friends. And, I think it's a conversation you need to have in your romantic relationships because, as that last lady said, you got to have friends. And life is richer when you have them. And, I like having female friends and I like having male friends and I have different experiences with different people. But I wouldn't have as much knowledge and experience in my life today if I did not have those male friends. And I think that it's really, really important that your partner is on board with it if you are having platonic friendships and that you are very careful to consider their feelings at all times and make sure that they have every opportunity to meet that other person, see what that other person is doing, and feel comfortable and confident that that other person poses no threat to your relationship.
I'd like to ask Al another question if he's comfortable with it, and excuse me for cutting you off, Kat. We're running short on time. Al, are you comfortable in sharing whether or not you have ever sexualized a friendship? And if so, how has that experience panned out for you? Has it enhanced the relationship? Have there been problems? I could address that too, but I wondered what you might have to say.
You mean in my mind sexualized it or it became
a
relationship with a friend?
Actually have had a friendship that you did sexualize.
I'd have to think about that. That I sexualized in my mind?
Well, let me share and then maybe you'll be a little more clear on what I'm saying. I've had two friendships. They started as friendships that I did sexualize. And in one of them, we just agreed that the friendship was more important and we let the sex go. In the other friendship, it complicated things. And I almost lost the friendship as a result of it. But fortunately, it endured, and so that's where I was going with it. Does that make any sense?
Yes. My last relationship started out as a friendship. We went on a lot of hikes. We took a lot of trips together, and I just increasingly felt close to him, having those shared experiences, and it did turn into a romantic relationship. I don't regret that. I think we both were feeling that way. I think it kind of developed like Well, Kat said that things sometimes just kind of happen organically, and I think that's what happened with that. I think it happened organically. I don't think it was that I made a decision one day that I was going to have a romantic and sexual relationship with him. It just developed over time. So, yes.
Well, thank you, Al. We do have another call, and it's from the same area code, and I'm not sure who we're going to get on the line, but let me bring that area code 385 live.
Who am I speaking with?
Who's this?
Hey, this is Matthew Cowdery.
Hey, Matthew. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Do you think that it's possible for straight men and women to be in platonic relationships as opposed to thinking only about sex or acting it out and becoming sexual?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. But with straight men, I think that they can't have a friendship with a woman because that's all they think about, and I've seen studies, and it shows that if they could have sexual relationships with women that they have friendships with, they would. And these were university studies.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, can you speak from your own perspective? Do you find that that's the case for you?
Well, me being married, not all the time, but yes, I find other girls attractive, but not all the time, but I wouldn't be friends with somebody who I didn't find attractive. Like, I wouldn't go hang out with them or go to the bar or go anywhere with them.
Is it the physical attraction that draws you to them, or is it something else?
Oh, I think it's the physical attraction. Unless it's if they're like family or related to me somehow.
Uh-huh.
And then it's different.
Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say on the subject?
No, that's all.
Is there anybody else in the house that wants to speak?
Oh, yeah. My dad liked to speak.
Okay, great.
Hey, David.
Hey, Craig.
How's it going?
Good. Hey. Good. And you?
Well, I'm not sure what. Good. We're doing. We're holding it down here.
All right. Well, yeah. I know. Craig has been through a challenging time, having just lost his brother. Craig, sorry to hear about that again. What do you think about the idea of, as a straight man, can you have a platonic relationship with a woman without either being sexually attracted to the woman or just...
Yes?
Okay, go ahead, please.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I've had many. I mean, friendship.
Was there
friendship,
a physical attraction that drew you to the relationship, or was it something else?
Not necessarily. I mean, well, from my perspective, people are people, and, you know, it's more, you know, it could be intellectual, it could be just common interests, it could be maybe like, I don't know, I guess common interests. Things like that, you know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Go ahead. You wanted to say something else?
I just think seems like it's natural to like have common interests with people, whether they're guys or girls or, I don't know. I mean, I heard what Matthew said a little bit, but you gotta remember he's only 28. You know, and it's
right.
A different world. Right. You know. You want to ask Connie what she thinks?
Sure.
All right. Here, I'll pass the phone on to Connie. And by the way,
okay. Thank you for all the
we talked to Lori and Scott and Candace, and you know, passed on our, you know, the whole family's condolences.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
They really appreciate it too. Let me tell you.
Oh,
a lot.
Nice,
David. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, here's Connie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've had platonic relationships with older men, and I don't think I'd be the person I am today if I didn't have those relationships. And they're some of my favorite relationships, because they teach you. They're older and wiser, and they like to teach. You know, they. Okay. How do I
do
that? Okay. Is that better?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That's been some of my best relationships.
Well, thank you.
It wasn't a sexual attraction at all. Not on my part. And if they ever felt that way about me, they never said that to me.
Okay.
And I'm thankful for all of my relationships that I've had, platonic relationships.
Thank you, Connie.
Learn a lot from older people. And
well, I appreciate
welcome.
Your in. Yeah. Well, you know, we've come almost to the end of the hour, and Kat, if you're okay with it, I'd like to do my meditation next week. I'm challenged in terms of doing a meditation along these lines. I could do a brief general meditation just to bring us away, unless there's something else you want to add first.
No, I just really like what the last lady said about the friendship that she had with men. In particular, she had older men as her friends, and they wanted to pass on their knowledge, and they had enriched her life because of that. And I think that we need to just see that human beings first, gender second. Like, we are humans, and we are souls, and we have so much to offer each other and to grow, and sexuality is only part of that. It's not the whole part of it. And to bring that up from sexuality into spirituality and into having a more spiritual relationship with somebody takes a lot of the complication out of it. And then by doing so, it allows you to have a far greater, far more enriching experience with the person. So if are having a platonic relationship with somebody for yourself and your own experience, keep it spiritual. If there is no organic way that it's going into romance, or if there is a block to romance, such as you're already in a relationship and you value that, I really think that it's commendable to have human-to-human contact, and friendships are fantastic.
Thank you so
yeah.
much, Kat. And thank you, Elle, Connie, Matt, and Craig. Let's just take a moment to pause and reflect upon where we're at today. And so I invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable, or if not, focus on a spot on the wall or in the room that you can meditate upon, and take a few deep cleansing breaths, letting go of whatever stresses or concerns you've had today, and just allow yourself to go deeper and deeper into the essence of your being. As into your very soul and breathe slowly in through your nose and out through your mouth. And do that 2 more times. And now, relax your body, starting with your feet. Wiggle your toes and relax them. Feel your ankles relaxing. Feel your calves. Tense them and let them go. And just relax. Moving up past your knees into your hamstrings and quadriceps. Flex them and relax. Moving up into your hips. Feel them and let them go. Just another part of your body that you can relax. Moving up into your abdomen, your tummy, your lower back. Tense them and relax. As you move up into your chest and your heart center, feel your heart. Feel your heart expanding. Feel the beat and let it go. But surely, you're beginning to realize that you just have a body, and beyond the body, rather, you have spirit. You have energy that's not related to your body. Moving on up to your shoulders and down your arms to your fingers, wiggle your fingers. And drop your shoulders and let your arms, your fingers, and your shoulders relax. Upper back as well. Just relax. And move up into your neck. And if you feel any tightness in your neck, any stress in that part of your body, just let it go for a moment. Move up into your jaw, your cheeks, your forehead. Just relax and let it go. Your eyes relax. Let your mouth relax. Let the crown of your head relax. And so now you're perfectly relaxed, and you realize you are more than your body. You are, simply are, all that is. And with that knowledge, we feel connected to all that is around us, to the people in our lives that are with us now or that have passed into the great beyond. For we're all one great spirit, free, free at last. And so knowing that you are more than just your body, allow that to be for just a moment and express gratitude for the spirit you possess within and grateful for the body that you now come back into and become aware of and rejoice that you have life in the body today. And so, when you're ready, open your eyes, wiggle your toes, wiggle your fingers, rotate your head, whatever it takes to further relax as you come into your body, and know that all is well. past and future are but an illusion, for you are present today, and give thanks. And so with that said, we come to the end of our show. Please join us every week at the same day and time, and visit our Facebook page, which is The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Feel free to comment, suggest a topic, and join us again next week, where we'll have another discussion around a new topic. And so I thank you all. Kat, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, just make sure that you join us on Facebook on our page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Send us an idea for a topic, and if it's a good one, we'll put it on the show and we'll thank you for it publicly. And as always, make sure that you stay in contact with us during the week. And thanks so much for tuning in.
And thank you again to everybody that participated tonight, and to all the listeners that are live with us who have not contributed to the show verbally. But we appreciate your participation. And to all those that listen to the podcast, please join us again. And so with that said, good night, good day, and God bless.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Connie. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Craig. Good night.